This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Rory Spears, and Len Zien.
All right, it is 9 o'clock. You are listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I am Rory Spears, in studio today, flying solo in studio. One of my co-hosts, Len Zien, will be joining us momentarily from the top of the world golf studios in beautiful Ocala, Florida. And Ed Stevenson is not in studio today. And I have to share some news if you didn't see it online. Golfers on Golf Radio sort of does this show with a little bit of a heavy heart this morning. Last Sunday night, we lost our good friend and co-host and partner in golf, Bill Berger, the little giant, the old pro. Billy lost his battle with cancer that he had been fighting for a couple of years. Billy was 87 years old, and sadly, he is he's at the big golf course in the sky. So I'm hoping that he is playing a course really well suited for his game that he is enjoying. And with that, we will talk a little bit more during this program, and more so even next week when Ed Stevenson gets back with us in studio. He is speaking at the memorial service today, and eventually we hope to get show founder and a good friend of Billy's, Mike Monroe, involved with us at some point. Mike is going to take a couple of weeks that he has off from his golf duties on Saturday mornings and come back in the studio with us a little bit. And I'm sure we'll share some memories of Billy, just an all-around great guy. And with that, yeah, we have Len Zien with us. Lenny, how are you this morning?
Oh, ready to roll. Yeah, it's been beautiful, very hot weather here in Florida, though. It's been in the 90s, and it's kind of tough to be outside. Very draining weather, so it's nice being in the air-conditioned comfort of our new place here.
Well, yeah, you are in the you have upgraded from the Palm Air Studios to the what is it, the top of the world golf studios now in beautiful Ocala, Florida.
Yeah, Ocala, Florida. It's about 2 hours north of where we had been living, and a little closer to Chicago, so that's a nice thing.
Well, Lenny, I'm sure you caught part of that at the top, but all of us are a little heartbroken. We're missing our friend Bill Berger, who passed away of cancer last Sunday night, and Ed Stevenson is, of course, not with us this morning. He is speaking at the memorial service, but as the old saying goes, the show must go on, so I am here, and we'll talk a little bit more about Billy next week when we get Eddie back in the studio, and whether it's on the phone or in person, Mike Monroe will join us at some point. And Mike was instrumental in bringing Billy to Golfers on Golf some 16 years ago, and he will come in and have his say as well.
Yeah, Billy, you know, you guys knew Billy a lot better than I did. I only got to know him about, well, when I came onto the show as a regular about 3 years ago. But really a nice man, a good, fun guy to be around, and a good teammate on the radio show, I thought. He was a guy that we had a lot of common friends, people we knew from our different worlds, but our paths hadn't crossed until Golfers on Golf brought us together. So you hate to lose a teammate like that. I know he's going to be missed by by lots of people within the golf community. I certainly have great memories of Bill, and I'm sure a lot of other people do as well.
Well, we'll definitely miss him. And, you know, it was always fun especially when we would talk about the Illinois PGA section together. And, you know, he'd always say, yeah, the old pro over at this course and that course. And, you know, maybe some of those old pros aren't with us anymore. Some of them are retired. A few of them may still be out there working at various clubs. But you get into the... I would say the 50 and over crowd of the Illinois PGA section from pretty much any of the country clubs around the Chicagoland area. And Billy always knew who they were. He had played some games with them over the years. And, you know, Billy played on the PGA Tour. I don't think he came away with any victories during his late run in the late 50s and early 60s. I know he was... in contention 1 year here at the Illinois Open, and almost came away with a victory, but he got passed on the final day by a gentleman who joined you in your class of the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame. I believe Emil Esposito got to him and beat him in the final round, and so his chance for an IPGA major was dashed, but it took a Hall of Famer to do it.
Yeah, well, I tell you, Emo was, of course, he's a longtime friend. We went in the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame together on that very memorable night of October 18th, 2019. Emo had a lot. Emo was one of the top players in the section for most of my the 41 years that I was at the Sun Times, which that ended in 2010, and the 15. Emo was one of the very top pros, a very consistent player. You know, if you could play up to the level of Emo Esposito back in the day, you like Billy did, you were an accomplished golfer.
Well, Lenny, I will tell you this, as we've talked a little bit here about the Illinois PGA section, but it is the week for the PGA of America to be in the spotlight. And yesterday, the spotlight started early in the morning while it was still dark and rainy outside the Valhalla Golf Club. And world number one, Scottie Scheffler, right in the middle of it. And stories coming from both sides as to exactly what happened, or maybe nobody's really sure what happened in the dark and in the rain. Certain things are fact, but it ended with Scheffler being arrested by police officers outside of the club, taken to jail, where he ended up doing his stretching routine behind bars to get ready for round two. There was a while yesterday morning that the PGA of America was unsure whether or not Scheffler would be able to continue in the tournament. Outraged bettors that had picked Scheffler to... win his second straight major were yelling hashtag free Scotty on places like Twitter or X, whatever you call it these days. And, you know, an amazing situation. And not to make light of this, because sadly a life was lost. Somebody working at the tournament, a area volunteer that was struck apparently by a tournament shuttle van and killed. And, you know, not much has been said because of the hoopla around Scotty. No one's really talked much about the victim. No one has talked too much about the driver of that van. But apparently in the dark of the rain, that victim just wasn't seen. And so, and then all the miscommunication around the roadblock and the traffic delay getting into the club. Multiple reports say Scheffler did exactly what he was instructed to do in terms of getting into the club by the PGA. And delays and situations have occurred outside of tournaments and majors before. And usually once players show their credential, they are waved around traffic situation that may or may not be happening. However, the officer who was not trained to be involved in traffic control or what the traffic routes or what the restrictions or non-restrictions were in use of that road getting into Valhalla was the one who got involved in the situation. As a result, Scheffler charged with one felony, second-degree assault of a police officer, and three other misdemeanor charges. So Scheffler already has a hearing coming up on Tuesday here right after the championship. Whether he will stick around or send his lawyer to represent him remains to be seen. But Lenny, I'm sure you were as shocked as anybody else yesterday morning when you woke up and found out the situation that Scheffler was in.
You know, I tell you, I was, of course. I think the things to take away from this, you touched on it very well. The first part of it was that we should remember that a guy lost his life in this thing before it all started. This story isn't all about, by any means, shouldn't be all about Scottie Scheffler at all. But there was a death here. This was a very unusual way to start a day. It was sad. It was, and we have to remember that that's the way the day started. Now, to Scottie's credit, I guess he did make some. He admits he had made some mistakes. There was a communication breakdown there between him and the officer, and Scottie handled this with a tremendous poise, I think. I was amazed at, of course, amazed how well he played. He handled the obvious questions that would be coming his way. He did everything that he could have done right once this sad event got going. So it was, this has been a very strange PGA, Rory. I mean, it started with Monday, and I don't want to dwell away from the Scottie Scheffler incident, but the Rory McIlroy, the second number two player in the world, his start of the week was, we can talk about that later, but that was a whole strange thing too. I don't know. I hope that we remember this PGA for the golf that's played when it's all over, but this was a very, very strange, unusual PGA. I can't think of any event that is real that I've covered or even followed over 55 years that has gotten off to a more bizarre start than this one.
Lenny, I've got to ask you, and maybe I have my years confused or backwards here, but I'm not sure that Valhalla was even originally scheduled to host the championship this year. Did they step up, or were they moved up a year in the wave of political correctness that followed a few incidents in our country? The PGA Championship was moved away from a club that was owned by former President Donald Trump, and I'm not sure if the PGA Championship was even supposed to be here in 2024, or if it was supposed to be here in 25, or they stepped up to fill the void that the PGA of America had when they took the tournament away from the Donald Trump course. I believe it was Bedminster out on the East Coast.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. I'm not like you. I'm not positive of this, but I think you are right. I covered a couple of the Valhalla PGAs. Mark Brooks beating out Kenny Perry, I believe 1996. That was a weird Valhalla has been a good site for the PGA, but it's had its strangeness. If you look back on it, the 96 one that I was at was Kenny Perry comes in, blows the 18th hole, and loses the where he could have clinched in a playoff, or where he could have clinched the title outright. And he went directly into the telephone, into the TV booth to be interviewed before he went out to play a playoff with Mark Brooks, and Brooks won it. Very strange way Kenny handled that one. And then, of course, in the 2014 version, it was darkness was setting in, and the PGA waived its standard policy and let Rory McIlroy play in with the group in front of him, which included Phil Mickelson, in an event to get broke with tradition of golf tradition. And rather than bring him back on Monday to finish with one hole, it created some ill will. So, it's been a strange tournament sight. They've been good, memorable tournaments. Woods won the other one there. I wasn't at that one, but, Valhalla is, I like Valhalla. I enjoyed my times there. I was hoping to be there this week, but it just didn't work out for a variety of reasons. But, I think it's been one of the PGA's, better sites, though that said, the results of the tournaments there, they seem to be snake bit with unusual in this case, sad, and this, strange things have gone on at Valhalla.
Lenny, I got to tell you, we have a strange thing going on there right now. The second round, because of the delay, because of the accident and everything yesterday, and the PGA not wanting more players to end up in the situation that Scottie Scheffler ended up in, they started a little later yesterday, and as a result, they didn't finish. And there are some players that still have two holes or a hole and a half to play, including Andy Swoboda, the Butler National Director of Golf, is still on the golf course. And this second round is supposed to be finishing this morning, and they haven't been able to start it yet due to a fog delay. So just when you think things are back a little bit closer to normal, well, they're not.
I don't know what else can go on over there. it's a sad thing that our three I call it three, but the two Illinois PGA pros, they Andy and Kellum, they didn't play well and didn't have the. I really had high hopes for Andy Swoboda the way he had been playing going in, and none of them made the cut. They were not unusual though. The players that missed the cut was kind of surprising. I mean, it headed by John Rahm.
Yeah,
and Fitzpatrick and Sam Burns and Adam Scott and Wyndham Clark. Those are some real high quality players that didn't. But of course, we do have a couple of Chicago connected guys that'll play the weekend. Doug Kim tied for 22nd after. It's not official for that for the halfway point because still players are on the course, but. Doug Kim and Luke Donald, who had missed the cut in his previous four PGA Tour events this year, he got his game together and made the cut, 70-69, tied for 41st. That was a big improvement, big boost for Luke this year. So, it's going to be a good weekend. It's just that the way everything has been going. You got to wonder what could happen next,
Yeah, well, I'm glad to see, as I'm scrolling up and down the leaderboard, and there's people like Gary Woodland, who had a longtime connection with Wilson Golf before just switching out a year or so ago. The 2019 U.S. Open champion at Pebble Beach makes the cut. And Woodland had to have brain surgery earlier this year to attempt to get a brain tumor lesion removed. And I think the doctors told him they got most of it. But anyway, Gary's feeling well enough to play, and it's good to see him back out competing again. And, it's... it's interesting to look up and down the board to see who's still out there. And as you mentioned, in some cases, who isn't. And so, yeah, Luke Donald, 70-69. You mentioned Ty 41st. You know, we look Jason Day not wearing any interesting apparel like he did at the Masters till he was told to change out of it. Makes the cut at 29th place. But and speaking of apparel, Len, I don't know if you have seen this, but there are some media outlets posting this morning that apparently Nike put a rush job on it yesterday, and they are outfitting Scotty in some orange apparel for tomorrow. You might have orange shoes, an orange belt, maybe an orange shirt and an orange cap, and who knows, all he'll need is a stamp with the letters DOC on the back of his shirt. But Scotty may look a little more like a prison inmate tomorrow than a stylish touring professional.
Well, you know, if that in fact is what I did not know that, but if my gut reaction after you telling me that, I would think that would be in very poor taste. I, you know, this wasn't a joke. This was a guy involved in not directly involved exactly, but of death right before the tournament starts, right before the day starts, and then him going to prison, going to jail, and you know, I don't see humor in that. If that happens, I think I may have to comment on that in one of my columns.
Yeah, I may be talking about that on our website, golfersongolf.com, as well. Yeah, I'm sure there will be a split opinion on that one a little bit as to is it funny? Is it not funny? Is it typical Nike off-the-cuff humor a little bit? Hard to say there a little bit. So anyway, we'll have to wait and see as this circulates around a little more today, if there's an overwhelming negative reaction out on social media. Will Scheffler stay with it, or might he switch back to the colors he originally had planned to wear on Sunday? So we'll have to see. You know, Lenny, when you look at the leaderboard, a couple of guys who a lot of people were picking to be right there this week are right there. Xander Schauffele, who some people always put him in that category of, you know, best guy not to win a major. Colin Morikawa, who has been playing better, has a couple of majors.
Well, also was picked by me on this show last week, if you'll recall.
Okay, I do
made
remember.
Five birdies in a row yesterday. Five birdies in a row.
Well, I'm thrilled that my pick, the defending champion Brooks Koepka, is in 12th place, and he is lurking with 36 holes to go. So, you know, and Bryson DeChambeau, our most recent winner of LIV Golf here in Chicago, is also playing very well, 68-65, 9 under par in fourth place. And it'll be interesting if for the second straight year a player off the LIV Tour wins the PGA Championship.
You know, Koepka had an interesting day yesterday. But this was showing a lot of toughness. He had three holes in which he made bogey or worse, and in each case he answered. He had recovered on the next hole with a birdie. I mean, that shows something. I mean, it's what you're supposed to do. A bounce back birdie is a great thing. Keeps you right in the net, and in case of his, it kept right in the hunt. You know, before we get further, I got to make some thoughts on this Rory McIlroy thing. Now, it would be a huge story with this tournament had not the Scheffler thing happened yesterday. But this, I can't quite think what, you know, a divorce is a very a serious thing, generally a sad thing, but of all time, the timing of what Rory did, I just don't get it. You win a tournament, a big tournament, and he hadn't been, you know, the one out in Charlotte. That was a big significant win. He hadn't been winning. He gets the win. The next day, he files for a divorce. The same week of a major championship. I would have thought that would. Why would you, if you're going to have to get a divorce? I feel for the guy. I've been through one. They're no fun. But this was the strange timing of his having done this. I can't imagine what he was thinking. I mean, I would have thought maybe it would have been better to hope. You knew the reaction he was going to get. Why didn't he wait till after this week? You know, or why did he not play? Why didn't he skip last week? And you know, it adds for my book. It adds to the strangeness of this whole tournament.
You know, I agree with you. I'm surprised that it didn't happen like this coming Tuesday, and I'm sure McIlroy, right, after playing last week and this week, two big tournaments, is probably taking next week off. And this way, he could have had a week to prepare his answers to the questions. I know reporters were told up front that he would not be. He would not be taking any questions in regards to this situation. And, you know, I guess one reporter asked a question, said, how do you feel coming into this week with everything going on with your golf game and your life on and off the golf course? And there was a very short little terse answer. The general feeling was, is McIlroy, who's always very engaging and outstanding to listen to at press conferences, sat up there and looked like he wanted to be anywhere else in the world but sitting in the press tent at Valhalla.
No, it was it certainly shortened his press conference. I mean, he was given, as I understand, that the introduction comments by the PGA guy there ate up most of the allotted time. He only fielded seven questions and didn't have much to say. How do you feel? What is this? You know, very basic. What do you think of Valhalla? It took him out, and he was the last interview, I believe, before the whole tournament started. So you know, everybody was expecting something from Rory, and didn't happen. Just the whole week has been As I keep saying it this week, I wonder what's going to happen next, because maybe the orange outfit for Scotty will be it. Maybe that'll be the next scenario in this thing.
Well, and you know, I am waiting. You wonder if maybe the release wasn't planned for this week. Maybe they thought it would take a few more days before the tabloids and so forth, the TMZs and the Hollywood Access shows would get wind of this, or maybe it did take a while. Maybe this was I'm not sure if he filed it on Sunday, or you know, maybe it was filed sooner and it just finally broke at this time. So little curious there as to you know, we say we're curious about the timing, but maybe it wasn't the timing that he expected. Maybe he thought it was something he would be dealing with last week at Charlotte, at Wells Fargo. Not so much this week at the PGA, but you got to believe when the media arrives from all over the world at a major championship, those kind of things going on in your life will pop up in press conferences. So I'm still hopeful he'll continue to play well and end up with a decent tournament. And I think he's still, I was just going to say, he is tied for 23rd at five under par round Thursday, and even par round of 71 yesterday, actually tied with Justin Rose, who's playing some good golf as well. Len, it is 9:30. I do want to mention coming up after the break, We are going to speak with the brand new head golf professional, Tyler Yancey, who is the head pro of the brand new Pinehurst Number 10 golf course that has just opened in the last 5 weeks. And, you know, once we get past Sunday night and the Wanamaker trophies handed out, Major Championship Golf turns its focus to Pinehurst and the U.S. Open that is coming to the resort there in the middle of June, of course, concluding on Father's Day weekend. But with that, we will take our first break, and we will come back, and then shortly after that, we'll have Tyler Yancey on live from Pinehurst with us right after this. The Erin Hills Golf Club in Erin, Wisconsin is your home for golf on a true championship golf course. In 2017, Erin Hills hosted the U.S. Open, but next year the U.S. Open will return with the ladies getting the opportunity. This time, the women's 2025 U.S. Open will be Erin Hills' fifth USGA championship. So why not come out and play the two-time U.S. Open course before the women arrive in 25? Erin Hills has now opened the 63,000-square-foot Drumlin putting green for those players with a tee time or staying overnight. Yes, the Drumlin has lights, so night golf is an option. If you arrive at Erin Hills later in the day and daylight is fading, why not try the Kettle 5-hole loop, which is comprised of holes 1 through 5 on the main Erin Hills golf course? Food and beverage? As some of Wisconsin's finest choices, including the in-house Fescue Rescue, a popular choice of Erin Hills golfers. Overnight accommodations, both in the lodge and the cottages, are filling up quickly. So make your tee times and book your play and stays at erinhills.com or call Erin Hills at 866-772-4769.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
The Misswood Golf Club, located at 1700 West Renwick Road in Romeoville, is one of the Chicago area's top public golf courses. This Ray Hearn design is a links-style course complete with Scottish-Irish-styled sidewall bunkers. Each year, Misswood plays home to the Phil Kozen Illinois Women's Open and has hosted other golf championships, including the Illinois State Amateur and the Women's Western Golf Association National Amateur Championship. This year, Misswood has built an extension onto the driving range to hold even more golfers at one time. The Performance Center is constantly being updated with the latest in golf technology for club fittings and lessons. Misswood has one of the largest staffs of Illinois PGA teaching professionals at any club. So come on out and enjoy Misswood. Challenge your game through the holes of Kelpie's Corner, and after the round, enjoy the food and beverage of McWethy's Tavern in the clubhouse. For more information, call 815-254-3333 or visit mistwoodgc.com.
All right, it is 9:34. You are listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. Rory Spears in studio, Len Zeem on the line from the Top of the World Golf Studios in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Our partner Ed Stevenson is out speaking at the memorial service this morning. Golfers on Golf Radio passes along its condolences to the friends and family of our partner here on this show for the last 16 years, Bill Berger, longtime PGA professional, PGA Life member, who sadly lost his struggle with cancer last Sunday night. And I know that there was a lot of people over at the wake yesterday, and we saw some Illinois PGA section professionals out there, and it was nice of people to stop by and remember Bill, and always look forward to him being here and being a part of our show for the, as I mentioned, last 16 years, and we will miss him dearly. And Ed Stevenson will be back to talk about Billy a little more next week. He was asked by the family to speak at the memorial service this morning. And at some point, our show founder and host, Mike Monroe, the CDGA director and former owner of what was the White Pines Golf Dome in Bensonville. Mike Monroe, as soon as he has a open Saturday morning, he's going to come back and join the show, and he will talk a little bit about Billy as well. So as a result, I want to go back and quickly touch on what is happening, or in this case, not happening at Valhalla. Down at the PGA Championship, the fog is delaying the finish of round two. There are still a couple of threesomes out on the golf course, and they will hopefully get that second round wrapped up shortly and be able to start third round play before too long. So anyway, it's always an interesting time at Valhalla, as Lenny and I have talked about in the first part of the show. One of the great things about golf this year, and something we said we were going to talk about, is for the first time in over a decade, we have a record amount of brand new golf courses, not renovation projects, brand new golf courses that are opening around the country. And there's sort of been a small, not back to where it was in the 1990s, but there has been a little bit of a golf course building boom. And with that, Golfers on Golf Radio is thrilled to bring in the head golf professional of one of the really all around great new golf properties in America, down in Pinehurst at Pinehurst 10. And with that, we welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio the head golf professional at Pinehurst 10, Tyler Yancey. Tyler, how are you this morning?
Doing great, Rory. Thanks for having me.
Well, Tyler, I got to tell you, the sun is out here in Chicago finally. We don't have any rain for a change, and the golfers can go out and have a wonderful day and play in conditions not like the ones I saw when I came out with a couple of other media members earlier this year to see the golf course that sits out the back window of your, trailer for now until that beautiful new clubhouse gets built out at Pinehurst 10.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're in the same boat today. We've got the slight chance of showers this afternoon, but we've had a few days of rain off and on. But nonetheless, the sandy soil down here in the Sandhills of North Carolina does so great at soaking up any moisture that we have. So even with the rain, our resort guests have been able to really, truly enjoy the gem that is Pinehurst number 10. You know, Tom Doak and his design team put together this masterpiece that has a lot of Pinehurst vibes and also at the same time kind of sits alone in the landscape and the property that you were able to see just a short few months ago.
Well, Tyler, I know that, from being out there even during the construction phase and driving around with Pinehurst Director of Grounds Bob Farron and having a chance to talk about the construction with Tom Doak's lead associate Angela Moser, the golf course is a little different than what we see maybe on some of the other Pinehurst golf courses. And you're really familiar, having worked at a few courses in the Pinehurst area before accepting this position, but there's a little more elevation change that people are used to at Pinehurst. So tell us a little bit about this golf course and how it might be similar, but also maybe a little different than people have been to Pinehurst Resort or have played golf in the Sandhill Country there are used to.
Yeah, absolutely. The golf course here at number 10 really, as you mentioned, has some similarities and then has some stark differences to the surrounding properties, not only at Pinehurst, but in this region of North Carolina. The golf course itself at number 10 is really big. It's a very big golf course in terms of layout and overall feel. I would say one thing that makes it different is the corridors are really, really wide. So the trees are pushed back off of the playing surfaces. You've got some really vast native areas that meander throughout the golf course. And so the sensation that you have when you're on property with those wide corridors and trees being pushed far off is that a lot of holes look a lot longer than they are just simply because the surrounds aren't encroaching on kind of dog legs or turns. It's really going with the lay of the land with these big, vast, open corridors. So you feel like you're in a different part of the county or even a different county altogether. The green complexes are just fabulous, and we have so many great hole locations and also some great runoffs that give you some feelings of Pinehurst number 2 and Pinehurst number 4 with those natural runoffs, as Mr. Ross would have created back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. But with the elevation change, there's some holes with 60, 70-foot elevation changes and some really long par 5s and some really short par 3s and some long par 3s. The golf course has just a great mixture of difficult holes and gettable holes. And ultimately, the flow of the golf course is what we're finding from our resort guests. They're really talking heavily about how much fun they're having on the golf course. And that, I think, is what this property really embodies. You can run the ball up onto the greens. You can hit every club in your bag. Again, you have 5 par 3s that are all different, which really allows the golfer to have just a great all-around experience while they're on the golf course. Again, being a walking-only golf course, it adds to the adventure of their round, and they're able to have a little bit different experience with no home sites out here, no roads that you're seeing. It's really big, bold, beautiful, and all golf.
Tyler, let me ask you this. I've one of the most frequently questions that I get asked by golfers is, and people who have been down to Pinehurst before, they say, well, we heard they built a new course at the old Pitt golf course site, and I think there's a lot of people who think that this course is completely built on top of the old Pitt routing, but it's not. Can you tell us what part of that golf course incorporates into the new number 10 course? And every once in a while, I still get somebody that asks me, say, yeah, we heard Pinehurst 10 was supposed to be Ben Crenshaw and Bill Corr. How did it turn into Tom Doak? Tyler, bring our audience up to speed.
Sure, absolutely. So, yeah, the Pitt Golf Course, the Pitt Links is the old name of the golf course, really was almost like the Tobacco Road before the Tobacco Road of this area. Some really cool blind shots, hitting through some sandy sandscapes from the old mining operation down on this site. However, the 10th golf course is really built on the northwest side of the property. I would say it overlaps about 4 holes of the old Pitt Links, but it doesn't follow any of that routing. It doesn't follow any of those tee lines, routing, or directionals. So this piece of the property, again, very, very diverse in terms of elevation change. It encompasses a couple holes down near the water, but really doesn't follow any of the old original routing of the golf course. In terms of the Tom Doak design itself, ultimately it comes down to really availability and the architects, the great architects of today, the Tom Doaks and Gil Hands and Corr and Crenshaw, all of which we have some renovations or actual complete new builds here at Pinehurst. Mr. Doak was available within the timeline for us to put this golf course together and what was really record speed and all parties involved to get what is now number 10 done in record time is just quite marvelous in itself. So yeah, the piece of property that we have here at Pinehurst Sand Mines, which encompasses the over 900 acres that we do have here, still has some of the old overgrown parts from Pitt Links. But the golf course where number 10 sits is on the northwest side of the property and really only overlaps a few of the old corridors that were a few of the old holes but don't follow any of those original routings.
Tyler, we're going to bring in my co-host here, Len Ziem, to the discussion. Lenny, I know you've been up to Pinehurst numerous times over the years. I'm not sure if you've been on the number 10 property yet, but any thoughts or questions for Tyler Yancey, the first head golf professional of Pinehurst 10?
Yeah, that's great to have you aboard there, Tyler. I was there last year, and Bob Fallon gave us a long afternoon driving around there, and we took pictures. We wrote quite extensively about it. My understanding now isn't there going to be some of that land is going to go to a Pinehurst number 11? Isn't that the game plan? It looked like a great course when we saw it. I'm dying to play it. I'm hoping I can do it before the U.S. Open, but big things are always are happening at Pinehurst, and I'm wondering what's next.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, at Pinehurst Sand Mines, with us having over 900 acres, number 10 sits on probably two-fifths of that land. And, you know, we've got some really, really cool areas on this property that ultimately provide us the opportunity for potential more golf opportunities. You know, we are very hopeful that that is in the cards for the future. And ultimately, in this area, the sandy soil, thus the name Sandhills, North Carolina, is just so unique and so great to work with. So the potential for future golf opportunities here at Pinehurst Sand Mines is there's some great opportunities, and we're very excited for the potential of more holes here for our resort guests.
Great. I don't think I missed a little bit of the earlier part of this thing, but when were you able to get this get the course open?
Yeah, so the golf course opened on April 3rd, and we had our first resort guests right here on property April 3rd. It started at 8 o'clock. We had a really just a really fun first day. It was dark first thing in the morning. It's 6 a.m. It starts to pour rain. We're sitting here thinking, oh my goodness, we've got to open this golf course. We're so excited. We have all these people here that are so excited. And lo and behold, about 7:35, the skies parted. It was one of those mornings where you could see the actual clouds moving quickly. So we had this beautiful opening of the skies, and it went from kind of dark and dreary to partly cloudy to eventually sunny and clear. And it was just such a blessing for us to be able to open the golf course on time to all of our resort guests on that opening day. And really, opening weekend was so special. We had we did something really fun for our resort guests. We had our first 500 resort guests got a commemorative coin, and it was numbered. And we had several folks that were here that next week that were curious. Hey, is there a coin that's here for player 700? And we did let them know that the first 500 resort guests did get their coin. And it was also fun on Friday and Saturday, a couple days after we opened, we had folks checking in. They're like, I guess we're too late to get our coin. We're not going to get our coin. And we were able to surprise them on the first tee with our starters and our tee captains to present them with their commemorative coin as we open the golf course in early April.
Tyler, I've got to ask you, you did keep one in the back of your office. I really like those first off on 10 hats. You saved me one, right?
It was kind of a funny story. So our first group, was a group of 12 gentlemen, and they had been to Pinehurst before, and they were just so excited to be here. And we launched our ceremonial tee shot, and I had yet to meet our first resort guest, but I was making our way back to the putting green to meet our first resort guest, and I noticed that they had these awesome custom hats. And so I obviously asked them. I said, "Oh, guys, welcome to Pinehurst number 10. We're so excited to have you here." And they were fist bumping and high fiving, and they said, "We're excited. We had some hats made," and they had hats that said "First off on 10." And needless to say, we had people for the first 2 weeks that we were open. They were like, "Hey, do you have those first off on 10 hats?" And we had to let them know that it was actually one of our resort groups that they took it upon themselves to have their own custom hats done to commemorate being the first resort groups off on number 10, which was pretty special.
Yeah. Well, Tyler, I've got to ask you. When I was there, I was hoping to come home with some number 10 shirts and hats, and they didn't have any yet. Of course, I was there slightly before the official opening, but is some of that apparel available, and where so can you get it? And I guess part two, I'm sure there's people are going to say, we're coming down for the U.S. Open. Is the course open that week? Is it closed? What's the plan? Or is it sold out with perhaps corporations taking the tee time that may be sponsors of the U.S. Open?
Sure. Yeah, I'll start at the back end and work my way forward there. Yeah, the golf course is going to be open throughout the championship week. We are a resort golf course, so you do have to be a guest of Pinehurst Resort. You do have to have your stay booked at the resort. Currently, we are, for the most part, at occupancy on the Pinehurst Number 10 golf course during that time frame, but please feel free to reach out to our team, our sales and reservations team, to see if there is availability for that. As far as the merchandise goes, we've been very fortunate to have a fantastic logo that tells a great story about the property. Our golf shop is open to anybody that would like to stop by, resort guest or not. You're more than happy to come by the golf shop and see one of our golf professionals. We're happy to help make sure that we get you any merchandise or any items that you might like. The majority of our merchandise is available here on property at Pinehurst Number 10, and you can also go on our Pinehurst Resort website and go to shop Pinehurst, and you'll be able to find the Number 10 Pinehurst Sand Mine store, and you'll be able to find items there that you can order directly on our website and ship that right to your front door, so that you can come to the Pinehurst area, come to the open with your Number 10 and Sand Mine gear already on. The exciting part about the logo that we get to tell that story every day here to our resort guests, and happy to share it with the audience here. The rail car is very symbolic of what happened here back in the mid and early 1900s. The sand that was mined here at this site was loaded onto the rail cars, predominantly over on the eighth hole that has a lot of our sand spoils piles and sand deposits, thus that rolling sand mound area on hole number eight. The two mounds that are in the rail car are symbolic of the two large mounds on hole number eight, and then the rail car itself is red, which historically those rail cars in that time period were red, and then there is a hidden X in the middle of that rail car that represents the 10th golf course. And so the logo has been extremely fun. We've been able to tell that story to our resort guests, and they're certainly enjoying the new branding and the new logo for this property.
Well, I look forward to hopefully finally getting my hands on some of that stuff. I thought what they did with the logo there is very uniquely done. And one other thing that I'd like to talk about here very quickly in the last couple of minutes that we have, Tyler, I think it was a really neat idea that they created with the driving range, the practice facility there for what is number 10 and what will be 11. Take our listeners through how the two courses sort of have their own range and their own areas to hit from.
Yeah, so our current practice tee is located just, I'd say, about a 60-yard flip wedge right from our front porch here at the golf shop. And we've got a very a vast driving range for folks to warm up on, and very just minimalistic and clean. Guests are able to just take a few clubs or take their bag down to the practice tee. We've got a mining cart, an old rusty mining cart that we were able to find, and we have bags of balls down there for folks to grab and hit until they're happy and get loose before they play. And our practice tee is actually situated to where we can have two sides. And our future hopes with additional golf opportunities here at Pinehurst Sand Mines is to be able to utilize both sides of that practice tee to facilitate resort golfers potentially playing at other golf opportunities.
Well, it sounds really good. Well, listen, Tyler Yancey, thank you so much for taking a few minutes from your busy schedule to join us up here in Chicago and on Golfers on Golf Radio. We look forward to getting back to Pinehurst one of these days and playing that golf course on a day where the skies aren't opening up on our head. But anyway, it was still very well done golf course. You know, it's a little different than the normal Pinehurst layout, a little more elevation change, but still a fun walk to enjoy, and I'm sure you've been enjoying greeting resort guests and people coming out to play. It is my understanding, I think, from what you've mentioned and what I've heard, that for right now, at least, you do have to stay at the resort to book a tee time there. So just getting that information out to our audience. And Tyler, have a great weekend. Enjoy the U.S. Open, and I'll have to get in touch with you about some of that apparel you've got in the pro shop and get that put with the rest of our U.S. Open apparel order that we're waiting for the main pro shop to send up to us. But have a great weekend.
Awesome, Rory, and everybody, thank you so much. We're looking forward to a great championship week coming up soon, and look forward to having not only you, but all of your audience down to see us here at Pinehurst Resort.
All right, thanks, Tyler. That's Tyler Yancey, the first head golf professional at the brand new Pinehurst 10 course, one of the great new golf courses in America. And Lenny, it is nice to see some new golf courses getting built around the country.
Yeah, and I tell you, I think this one right here is numero uno, number one, as far as the ones that, as far as interest goes in the new ones. I mean, it's funny how golf it continues to have its ups and downs. I mean, you know, it's big booming area at times, and then a little bit quiet, then boom. But this Pinehurst number 10, this is there's going to be more coming at Pinehurst too. I'm interested in seeing just how this one is going to fit in long range at Pinehurst. You know, I'm assuming I got to believe number 2 will remain their main tournament course, but there's so many with the USGA now. I actually call using Pinehurst as its headquarters, its home, and they do so many tournaments. I can't imagine this one not factoring into a national tournament at some level at some time down the road. It was a very interesting layout when I got my tour of the place. I was excited about it, and and it was a bit of ways from it was a few months away from completion. So I'll be keeping my eyes peeled. That's going to be a very, very popular thing. Already is now, but I think with the U.S. Open coming there, it'll cause more attention to Pinehurst number 10 Lots and lots of people. It's going to be hard to get on there.
Yeah, it sure is. And just an update. Yeah, it's still a fog delay at Valhalla. They're still trying to wrap up round 2. There's a few groups left out on the golf course, including Andy Swoboda, the new director of golf at Butler National here in town, who's in the field, one of the 20 club pros. Unfortunately, the new director of golf over at North Shore Country Club, Jeff Kellen, will not make the cut. Jeff really struggled the first day in round 1 and found himself towards the bottom of the leaderboard, but bounced back yesterday with some great golf. And, you know, Lenny, as we know, the scheduling now with the PGA Championship and the National Club Pro, not the easiest setup for pros in Illinois to really have their game in top form, you know, coming out of winter and trying to get their clubs ready to go through the heavy part of the golf season and yet try to be competitive at a top level.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, it's a huge disadvantage. I mean, the fact that two of our Illinois guys, you know, were qualified for the PGA was a major accomplishment for Illinois golf. I thought that hadn't happened since 2004 when Roy Biancalana and Mike Small made it at the same year. But you know, I think that it's going to be harder and harder for pros to, especially from Illinois, with going to the tournament in May. I mean, only a few lucky ones can spend a lot of time in the warmer climates, and that they need time to get their game ready to play in that tournament. There's no question about that.
Yeah, Lenny. Well, you know what? Time flies when we're having fun talking golf and talking Pinehurst Golf and the PGA Championship. So as we get ready to putt out here, I'm Rory Spears. We thank Brian for getting us out to you today. We thank our guest, the first head pro at Pinehurst 10, Tyler Yancey, down in Pinehurst. Lenny, thanks for jumping in. And all of us at Golfers on Golf will miss our friend Bill Berger, who has been a part of this show for 16 years, who passed away last Sunday. Ed Stevenson will be back with us next week. And with that, the weather's getting nice, people. Get on out, play some golf, hit them straight, and we'll talk to you next week.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.